As we celebrate the waning hours of Christmastide, we are gifted with another helping of the prologue of the Gospel of St. John. This morning we hear again about the Word, the Logos, the wisdom of God come among mortals. It is a text we Christians know very well, and I'm sure there are some in this room who can quote from memory at least the first 5 verses, and quite possibly the full 18. It feels as if this text has been the gospel reading on Christmas Day in memorial. And it is this timeless feeling that leads us right where the evangelist wants us. St. John, in the prologue of his gospel, wants to make clearly evident to us and all who encounter his gospel that this word, the word, is nothing new. The word is, has been, and will always be. As John so elegantly penned, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This concept of the Logos or Word would not have been strange to the hearers of the gospel, though it might appear strange to us this morning. The wisdom tradition in the Old Testament, most prevalently in the book of Proverbs, Sirach, and the wisdom of Solomon, tells of one who was there when the heavens and the earth were established. One who, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, was brought forth. One who is a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. It is this tradition that the evangelist claims and confesses that the Word and the divine wisdom found in the Scriptures are one in the same. The babe of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth, is the wisdom of God in the flesh, come to reveal the mind of God through new means. The pre-existent Word, or the pre-existence of Christ, a creedal statement of our faith, can be understood here as crucial for St. John, but it's also extremely important for others, including St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, containing the well-known kenosis hymn of chapter 2, points to the pre-existence of Christ. For though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave being born in human likeness. Paul makes it clear that Christ was before he came among us in the flesh. Again, in Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, he writes about how when the Israelites drank of the rock in the wilderness, that the rock was with them, the rock that accompanied them was Christ. Pre-flesh, pre-disciples, pre-crucifixion. In this manner, the apostle ties Jesus back to the Exodus, ties him to the story of his people before he came to dwell among them. St. John, for his part, without any spiritual rocks, simply claims that Jesus was before anything was. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Unlike the triumphant reception we heard about on Christmas Eve from St. Luke, where shepherds believed the words of the angels, or the journey of the Magi from St. Matthew, which we will celebrate tomorrow night, St. John tells us about the rejection of Jesus. How even though the very world came into being through him, the world did not know him. It is the mother hen who watches her chicks scurry away from her cradling wing. He came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him. It's the suspicious stares and wild eyes that George Bailey receives when he seeks out his mother and beloved wife, Mary, after being granted his wish to never have been born. Because of the Gospels, we know that the people will do much more to Jesus than simply not receive him. He will be scorned and scoffed at. He will be cast out and rejected. He will be convicted and crucified. What a way to welcome the presence of God among us. First, God is hosted in a tent, then hoisted upon a cross. All this because God chose to reveal himself to us. And it is in the humanness of the incarnation, this revelation of God in the flesh, that makes it all the more absurd. The very author of creation decides that in order to restore unto God's self, the answer is to take on the form of the created. Luther, in one of his Christmas sermons, calls the Christian faith foolishness, proclaiming that it says that God can do anything, and yet makes him so weak that either his son had no power or wisdom, or else the whole story is made up. Surely the God who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," could have said to the devil, "Give me back my people." Instead, he sends an earthworm lying in weakness, helpless. The Word made flesh indeed. Yet, it is this earthworm, this frail bit of flesh and bone, that God makes evident what God wills for us and for our relationship with God. In the incarnation, God did not and does not stay distant from us. In Christ Jesus, God comes to live with us in the midst of our weakness, anxiety, and pain. For to become flesh, to take on the fragility of skin and bone, is to know joy and sorrow, pain and pleasure. It is to love, it is to grieve, and it is to die. In this life in the flesh, as the incarnate Word, Jesus shows us what a life lived in God looks like. Not only that, but through his life, death, and resurrection, the Word made flesh makes it possible for us, we broken sinners, to become children of God. Even better, because of the gift of the Spirit, we come to faith in this one who saves. And we can experience in the here and now this new life in God, a life lived in Christ, a life where the clutches of sin, death, and the devil have no final say over our lives. All this because God chose to come among us. All this because God chose to dwell with us, to redeem us, and to reveal God's self to us in the fullness of the one we call Jesus. St. John lays out his cards here for all to see. Here is God in the flesh, the mind of God revealed to the world with no buffers, no filter. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. When one hears Jesus, one hears God. As the evangelist said, it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The oneness of the Word and God means that the revelation spoken and enacted by the Word is indeed the revelation of God. As St. Paul wrote in Hebrews, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And it is through this Son, the one who, through whom all things came into being, this Son that is the reflection of God's glory and the very imprint of God's being, the incarnate Word, that we are to know God, to know the God of love and mercy, the God of justice and peace, the God who saw fit to save a fallen race, to save and restore those who had rejected and reviled him. May we, in and through the Spirit, do as John did before us, to testify to the light. May our lives be a testament to the light and life of Christ Jesus, striving to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, and to have our lives align with the words and deeds of the one who was, is, and is to come. Amen.